You are now listening to Random Ramblings with Rob. Yay!
What up, everybody? This your boy, B-Rob, and I'm back with another edition of the Random Realms with Rob podcast. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for coming back each and every week and listening to my shenanigans and things like that. If you're a first-time listener, I appreciate you for taking the chance and listening to me run my mouth. It's not like a dog or nothing. I got it on the leash, and we're running down the sidewalk, and it's trailing on side of me or in front of me because it has four legs and then I'm not running my mouth in that manner because it's impossible. Unless it's a movie, then anything is possible. Freaking, what was that, Kevin Garnett? Anyway, we're back with part two of the Just in Time miniseries. And last week we had the host, Rookie, on there, and we talked about a whole bunch of things. We talked about how his, from his side of the scenario, to how he met the other two hosts, and that episode was movie heavy. We talked about a lot of movies and everything. This week, my guest is DJ, whatever his alias is or whatever. I told you they're like the Wu-Tang Clan. They got their name, and then they got like a nickname, or their surname, or some shit like that. But I got DJ on here, and we talk about a lot of things. How this motherfucker almost died. He's indestructible. He fell out a goddamn window and shit. But I mean, I'm not gonna get in too many details. I mean, I just told the main detail. The motherfucker fell out a window. But the things to follow after falling out of the window is hilarious. And it also ties into one of the main topics that we discuss on here is smoking weed. So look forward to that. We ain't got no voicemails this week. That was kind of awkward. I didn't hear from Hoppy. Hoppy, are you okay? Can you hear the sound of my voice? It's just weird not to have an interesting story from Hoppy Rogers this week. But anyway, we going to roll into this episode here on this Sunday. Was afternoon now. It's after 12 o'clock. I was supposed to have this up and done last night, but I was actually recording with all three hosts to record the finale of the Just in Time miniseries and everything. And soon as we was done with that, I just went to sleep, man, because I drove to Victoria, Texas, which is almost 2 hours and 30 minutes away from where I live for work. I worked a 12-hour shift in Victoria, then I had to drive 2 hours and 30 minutes back at home while stopping at Walmart to get some other necessities. And after we recorded with them and everything, it was more than one of us. It was just me. But after we recorded, I was tired. I just went to sleep and everything. So that's what had happened. It is what it is. But enough of me jibber jabbing. I've talked long enough. I've delayed this episode long enough. We're going to get into part two of the Just in Time miniseries with our guest this week, DJ, on this edition of the Random Realms with Rob podcast. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, how you doing today?
I'm alright, I just gotta check and make sure I'm recording. No, that's not a joke, I'm for real.
I'm like, no, I'll accept it, that was totally my fuck up.
I'm out of town for work and shit, so I'm using the hotel Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
So if I go silent for an extended period of time, or I'm getting real laggy on you, that's what's happening.
All right. So that might come. That might happen on my side too, because I'm running off the Wi-Fi off my phone right now.
Yes, welcome to the rabbit hole. Where I eat peanut butter M&Ms.
Damn, I have had peanut butter M&Ms. I've had those in a while.
Oh man, I get them every chance I get.
You did. Shit. Someone gave me a bunch of Reese's Pieces, I think, on Easter. That's what kind of... I started staying away from the peanut butter for a little while there.
Right.
I kind of was overkill, because it was like a couple bags of like Reese's Pieces, and my fat ass was just sitting there snacking all day.
Oh, okay. Well, I can understand that then.
Yeah. Yeah, I already got to cut down on candy anyway.
Moderation.
Yeah.
See, it ain't helping you no way since they're putting all the weeds in the edibles.
I know that the only thing that helps on those ones is that, like, you'll see, like I'll see, like, a Rice Krispie treat or something like that, and I'm like, damn, that shit looks good. But then look at the price, and it's like $15. I'm like, okay, that I can't convince myself all the time to just pay that much for a fucking Rice Krispie treat.
Now, have you ever been in a situation to where you got some stuff, not knowing that it was an edible or whatever, like somebody pulled the switcheroo on you, or somebody left some shit out, and I was like, oh, some brownies, and it was some weed in it?
No. I wish, honestly. That would actually be kind of awesome. I think I've seen cookies that I thought, I didn't know, like, which way or the other on them, but as soon as I took a bite, I tasted the weed all through it, and so I ate, like, five of them.
Now, so what is it? I mean, because I never had edibles or whatever before. I mean, so what is that like? Is it like a real pronounced taste or whatever? Or is it just like cookies and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, gee.
You can usually taste it. I've had something like even some of the more professional done ones, like even something as simple as cookies and brownies. In order to get them stronger, they got to put more weed in them to where you end up tasting quite a bit of it. That's why it's hard to sneak that on anybody and shit. That's kind of a good thing, I guess, too. But yeah, you taste it. It almost tastes like dirt the way it tastes, kind of in the food.
Oh, so like beets.
Yeah. You get a real bitterness in there that lets you know right away something's not, especially that's why they always put it with sweet stuff. Cause they try to do everything they can to mask it. But yeah, usually like, what was it? I had an Oreo one time, and it was covered in weed chocolate, and the Oreo itself was all normal and fine, but the chocolate itself took over, like, that weed taste took over the Oreo and everything. Couldn't even taste chocolate hardly.
Oh, shit.
But they are strong. It's one of those ones that it's almost like taking a pill where it takes like a good 30 minutes or so for it to really start hitting you. And then that's why some people have made that mistake where they eat a brownie and then they're like, I'm not high yet. And so they eat a bunch more within like 10 minutes. And then an hour later, they're just stuck on the couch.
Man.
Which I have done that before too.
I think there's only been one time in my weed smoking era to where I was so fucking high that I ain't even want to smoke no more.
I think I've only hit that when it's like really hot. The heat makes me not want to smoke. That's the only thing that's detracted me. I think dabs, actually. I take that back. Yeah, dabs.
Yeah, no. Tony Rage over there on Joint Narcissism Podcast explained to me what a dab was once upon a time. But you know, if you ever listen to his show, he talking hyperbole and all over the place or whatever. Explain to me once again what a dab is.
Basically, it's concentrated THC, the chemical in the weed that gets you really high, you know, and there's many different ways that a lot of people get out of it. Some places I think they call it like blasting. I don't know all the things with it, but I know butane is involved, and that started getting phased out because butane's involved and people were blowing up their fucking houses and shit with that. And it seemed real methy, you know what I mean? It seemed too much chemical shit was going on, too much outside chemicals. But nowadays I've seen them, like, they'll get a hot iron, like a flat iron.
Yeah.
And they'll just grab like a nug of weed and put some wax paper in there and squeeze it. And the heat and the pressure will just squeeze out that THC. It'll come out in kind of a, almost like an earwaxy texture.
Mm.
And that, it only takes a little bit. That's why the dabs are usually supposed to be small. People go crazy on the internet, I know, but just a small little, fucking smaller than an M&M piece of that on hot metal. And that shit, that's like the equivalent of smoking like two blunts almost.
And on that note, I'm going to eat an M&M right now.
That's a good cue.
I know, man. It's just like the bag is right here in front of me, and it's sharing size, and I ain't got nobody to share it with, so fuck them. I'm eating them all myself.
See, that was the problem, too, when I had those big bags of Reese's Pieces. I didn't have anybody to share them with. Everybody I tried to offer them to was like, no, I got a bunch of candy at home.
I was like, man, just two motherfuckers.
Yeah. Like, don't you got kids? Yeah, they got a bunch of candy, too. Well, get them a little bit fatter. Come on, let them take one for the team. Shit.
Stop being responsible parents, damn it. Take some of this candy.
Seriously, diabetes isn't that bad anymore. Not for kids.
Yeah, even the old dude ain't making the commercials no more. We're talking about diabetes.
Have you seen that that meme with just like the cat that looks a little bit like he's got that same mustache and it just says diabetes?
Yeah.
I think it was like a little video or something, like a little gif where it, like the cat's mouth moved and it was diabetes. That shit cracked me the fuck up.
Motherfucking cocoon and shit.
I fucking love that shit.
Yeah, but like that one time we did a blunt train or whatever, so it was like I think three or four of us in this little washroom they had over there by these apartment complexes. So we would sit up in there and we sparked up a blunt, passed it around, and then somewhere in this rotation another blunt was sparked. So we had two blunts in the rotation.
Then
all of a sudden a third blunt was introduced. It was a triple threat match. Somebody came off the top rope with another blunt and I ain't see it coming.
That's dangerous too when you lose count of how many are going around and shit just because they keep coming.
Yeah.
You're smoking one big one.
Yeah, man, you know how it is when you get high and shit. You get to talking and carrying on and everything. You forget what the fuck happening. And like, you lose concept of time when it's going in a circle like that. So you hit the blunt, then you pass it to the left, because that's what you're supposed to do. I heard it in many songs. And as soon as you let go of that one blunt, another blunt is in your hand. I'm like, what? This is trippy. This is Inception. This is like, what the fuck? I just got rid of this thing and it's back.
I used to get that in high school a lot because I used to hang out with a lot of older black guys, and they would just, it'd be like four or five of us crammed into one little bedroom and shit on like three, four blunts at a time. And hell, between that and like all the dudes being in a hot space and shit,
Yeah. Shit,
my little ass would be like, by the end of the blunts, my little ass would be sitting by the door or by the window looking like I'm about to pass out or throw up or something. Everybody sitting there laughing at me. Look at a little young nigga. He can't do nothing. I'm like, hey, come on, man. I'm 15.
Yeah. But I mean, I can remember at some point in that whole cypher or whatever, I was just like, I hit the blunt and I was like, man, I don't even want no more. And then I hit the blunt again and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I don't want no more.
I've had that with blunts a lot too, because sometimes people roll them a little bit loose and shit, and you got that, you're smoking more paper than anything, to where by the end of a few of them in a row, you kind of start getting like a headache and shit, and there's a certain point when getting high anymore, I'm just pissing myself off because I'm making myself cough, but I'm not getting all the benefit.
Yeah. Let's do a little bit of time traveling. Take me back to that wonderful, magical day. The very first time you got high.
Oh, let's see. Well, age wise, I was 11, going on 12, and I had just moved into a new apartment complex about a month or so before. And the weird thing about that apartment complex is the day after we moved in, I fell out of the second story window and fractured my skull.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'll rewind a little bit.
Fuck getting high. I want to know how you got low.
Yeah. What was it? I was sitting up in my mom's bedroom, and she had we still had a bunch of moving boxes and all that shit. My little sister was jumping on the bed. She was like 5 at the time. And I was sitting on the windowsill. It was real loud. It was real wide. So I was just chilling. And I must have like fell asleep or something and just like leaned over and went right through the screen. And as my mom describes it, she barely like looked out caught it out the corner of her eye, seen something fall out the window. And her first thought actually was that my little sister had went out the window because she heard her jumping on the bed and all of a sudden she wasn't. So it was I went down, I hit the concrete and I didn't get knocked out or anything. Surprisingly, I kind of just looked up. My neighbor was kind of laughing at me a little bit just because he figured I was fine because I was getting back up. I tried to go back in the house and just like, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. My mom starts freaking out because she sees my eyes already swollen up. My left eye looked like Tyson had just got me with a perfect left hook. And my nose was bleeding. And my mom had a slight bit of relief in her, though, too, because at least the older one was the one that fell out the window. So my little, you know what I mean? If my little sister, the little 5-year-old little girl, if she would have went out, she would have went out that distance. She would have, she might have gotten really badly hurt.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had to go to the hospital. And one thing anybody from Hemet will tell you is that the hospital out here sucks ass. And usually anytime it's a bad situation, the first thing they do is send you out of town to another hospital.
Hey, that's some shit.
Yeah, so that, of course, that's after like 3 hours sitting in the emergency room waiting, holding ice on my eye and shit. Them telling me to stay awake when all I wanted to do was go to bed. They went and put a fucking, they put a neck brace on me because they thought I hurt my neck or something. And it was a kid's one, and I was 11, I was hitting puberty, I was starting to grow, and that shit was too small, that shit was choking me, so it was freaking me out. Finally, they tell me I can go to sleep. I guess they did some CAT scans or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, you're good enough. You can go to sleep. So I go to sleep and I wake up to them putting me on an ambulance, telling me they're taking me to like Riverside or something like that.
Riverside. And,
they're supposed to take me to Fontana. Yeah. So what was it? I wake up. I fall back asleep on the ambulance and shit. I wake back up to a doctor saying, what's this kid doing here? I look up and yeah, this kid, apparently they took these ambulance drivers, they took me to Riverside when they were supposed to take me to Fontana, which was, they took me 40 minutes away from where they were supposed to. My mom's in Fontana where I was supposed to be, looking around asking questions. Everybody's like, yeah, we have no record of a kid pulling up here. There was a little bit of chaos there. Finally, I fall back asleep, wake up, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Was in the hospital for like 2 days, had to take a week out of school, took some, I think it was like phenobarbital they had me on and some codeine when I was in the hospital. And I was okay, had like an air pocket in my brain and a fracture over my eye and my skull.
Fuck, man.
But so then fast forward a month after that, I still had a little black in my eye. It was, the swelling was all gone and shit, but I still had a little bruising and shit. So, my next door neighbor, the guy that I said was laughing, he was, about a year or two older than me. And I started hanging out with him just cause I didn't know anybody else in the neighborhood. And one day I went over there and he was just like, hey, you ever tried weed? I'm like, no, but I've seen Friday and that shit looked harmless. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shit. I knew he wasn't actually seeing Big Worm in the fucking cupboard and shit. I knew weed wasn't that hardcore. So, we went upstairs and this motherfucker, he didn't even have any like proper smoking utensils. He just crushed up a little can and poked some holes in it. And hell, I smoked some Mexican dirt weed basically. But that shit got me high as fuck. And I went downstairs of his house into his kitchen and went to his pantry and ate like three bowls of Captain Crunch. I was hoping I wouldn't. I know that much. I was hoping I wouldn't see my mom in there and shit. Just one of those come home early from work and, what are you doing smoking weed? But I got lucky there. I saw Cap'n Crunch and my neighbor was like, yeah, it was the generic Cap'n Crunch. So it was a big ass bag. And he was like, yeah, go crazy. Ate like three bowls with my little chunky ass.
So it was like,
and hell, I never looked.
So it was like,
it was like what?
It was like Lieutenant Smacks or whatever instead of Captain Crunch.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just as good. There were no, I don't even think there were Crunch Berries in that shit either, but I did not care. I think that's the only time I've ever gotten, like, truly gotten the munchies. I think that was just because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. You get high, and then you go and raid the refrigerator. Shit. And shit, my neighbor was cool enough to let me do that.
Yeah, he knew what he was getting into.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, him and his sister were both, they were both doing that thing that you see, like, in the movies whenever they give a kid a drink or a hit of weed and shit. They're both sitting there giggling and shit, watching me cough, you know? They made sure my little ass inhaled and shit, because I tried to just, you know, I tried to just blow the smoke out without actually taking it in and shit. And that motherfucker was like, "Nah, don't waste my weed," because he was like twice my size, and I was already a big kid to where he easily intimidated me.
Yeah, and he, I don't know, he probably was trying to get you high because he was trying to keep you under control. You fell out of the fucking window, hit your head, walked away, or whatever. He's like, "Something."
Yeah. And he never let go of that. I actually, what was it, about 2 years ago, I found him on Facebook and added him. And he accepted the friend request, and I messaged him like, "Hey, you remember me, little DJ from the apartments over on Whittier?" Back instantly, just like, "Yeah, I remember that little dude fell out the fucking window." So I did, hell, it stuck with me.
You ever think, cause I mean, you said you fell asleep or whatever, you ever think your sister came and pushed you?
I wonder sometimes. The scary thought was she tried to say something afterwards that she tried to catch me. That shit scared the shit out of me. Like, if she would have grabbed my fucking foot, that would have been an awkward story for my mom. Yeah, both my kids fell out the window.
I don't know. You might have saved it, though, because you would have hit the ground and she would have fell on you.
Yeah, that's shit. She would have bounced, too, because I was already chunky.
Yeah. It would have been like some Austin Powers shit or whatever. She's like slowly moving you to the front of her.
Yep. My fatness, too, was what made the doctors scared for my neck, too, because they were like, "Wait, you landed on your head?" Like, shit, they did the full body scan and all that shit. They were surprised all the impact went to my fucking eye and my skull. Luckily, my head broke my fall.
Goddamn noggin.
You know, my dad always told me I was hard-headed. I thought that was just an excuse for him to smack me in the back of it. Apparently, he was telling the truth.
I mean, that's why your head is hard. He's smacking you in the back of the head, making it tough, building the calluses. Yep.
Oh, yeah, that was shit. That in baseball, because I took a couple baseballs to the head, too, when I was a kid. But that it wasn't near as damaging, though, too. It was little kids throwing baseballs and shit.
Man,
the worst one, I took one to the face.
Man, that was like my biggest fear when I played softball and shit, man. That was like, to get hit by that fucking baseball, that softball, I was like, "Oh God, no!"
Yeah, that what was it? Like now, when I watch like TV and I see like them showing like the little league shit on ESPN, like they got the little face masks on the helmets. I didn't have that when I was a kid. That was our face was exposed. Shit.
What's a helmet?
Yeah, we got didn't nobody have their own helmet? Nobody was that baller at the baseball I was playing, but. Yeah, we had to have it. We were the hell. It was the 90s, so we did have to have some safety, I guess.
Shit, we had.
But we kept score.
Yeah. We had fucking ball caps and street clothes and shit.
See, man, we had that too outside of the park.
Shit, no, this was like a recreational league and shit.
Oh, that would have been the shit. I wish.
Man, but I was like, I can remember the first time I got high. It was just like, I was hanging with a group of friends. Or whatever. And we went to this place and I was like, "I ain't gonna sit here and watch y'all go off and do fun things. I'm coming too." So they went to some other guy's house. I forgot who he was, but he went to our school. He was a little bit older than us and they had like a little shed or whatever on the side of the house. So it was like jam packed in there. You know how a group of us get together, get hot in the room because we all dark and shit. And we all crammed up in there, then you fucking add some spliff fire and shit. So they was in there. They had hella blunts rolling around, smoking here, smoking there, shotgunning each other, all kind of crazy shit. And I'm just sitting there in the mist, literal mist of the chaos.
you were getting that contact.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm coughing and everything. I'm like, oh man, this is it's thick up in here. So they finish, we leave, and I'm walking down the street, and just like, I don't know what it was, man. It just felt like somebody in my head, somebody said the funniest shit ever, and I couldn't stop laughing. I was just like giggling and giggling. I couldn't quit.
I love that feeling sometimes. Like I don't get it as much as an adult, but I remember like in my high school days and shit. Somebody actually called me on it one day. I was at school and someone came up to me. This girl came up to me and she was like, "How high are you?" I looked at her. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "I just drove past you when you were walking to school and you were standing at the corner by yourself laughing like you were being told the funniest shit in the world. No headphones on, nothing like that." And it was because I was just fucked up, and I was fucked up walking to school and just was having stupid-ass thoughts. Couldn't share them with anybody, so I just had to laugh by myself, I guess.
But
it was like that. It was that nonstop.
Yeah, but that same day, man, it's just like I'm giggling. I'm fucking geeking the fuck out. And damn, it just finished raining or whatever. So they had puddles of water on the side of the road. And I'm fucking trudging my feet through the puddles and shit, and like just geeking the fuck out. And at some point, I took my shirt off and I was dragging it through the puddles of water like a dog or something by a leash. And I was just dragging that shit, and I was just steady laughing. And then I wrung my shirt out as best as I could, and I went home. And as you said, I was all up in the refrigerator eating all the cakes and pies and lunch meats and all that other bullshit.
That's definitely like an early on thing, I think, too. Like I definitely had a few times there, like going out smoking with friends and then coming home and being just in time for dinner. And fucking
just in time.
Yeah, coming home and smelling hot food and shit, and just getting that suspicious look from my mom, like, "Why are your eyes red and you've eaten two plates already, talking about you're still hungry?" Like, shit, it happens. Shit, you grub. Everybody's like, looking at me.
She's like, "I got allergies, my eyes rolling around in the grass."
Yeah. I was over at Jimmy's house or something, and he's got a bunch of cats all over there. I'm allergic to cats, so, I was rubbing my eyes. That's all that was. That got me out of a few situations, though, just saying I was at a friend's house who had cats, because hell, my mom knew that one for sure. I had cats, I had the cat allergy or whatever, and especially as a kid, I would just start rubbing my eyes, and motherfuckers would just be red as fuck, watering and shit.
Just walking around with a stray cat in your pocket every time you get ready to go in the house, like, rub a cat on my face.
Should go step in a litter box real quick, just so be like, yeah, you know Johnny's house, it always smelled like cat shit. You know there's cats running around that motherfucker. Shit.
Just got a pocket full of stray cat hairs, rub them on your clothes. Now you freaking Corn and Rookie, y'all grew up in the same place, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, how did that friendship even come about? I know I asked Rookie when I had him on, but I just want to get all y'all perspectives from all sides.
Well, my side, I guess I'm the last one in on the group, I guess, on that one. Like Rook and Redcorn, they've known each other pretty much Rook's whole life and shit. Rook's older brother is good friends with both of us, actually. He's like a year younger than me. And I went to high school with Redcorn and Rook's older brother. That's how I end up, after high school, we started hanging out more and thinking together, and ended up hanging out at his house. And when Rook's older brother went to the military, or he went to the Navy, and he went away, and I started hanging out with his little brother a little bit more, and me and Rook started finding out we had a lot of similar opinions and shit, and started, getting along and realizing we played a lot of the same games. We started playing online and shit back in the day, playing on the Xbox 360 and whatnot. Corn, I knew from just a couple of classes. He was the short guy. He was the short Mexican in class, and I was the guy with the big ass afro. Like that was everybody. That was all our relationships right there. And it was, like I said, it was pretty much after right after I got out of high school, I started hanging out with them, and we started just hanging out all the time, more and more and shit. And the guy that used to be on the show back in the day, Ethan, he was also kind of one of the ones that was like a middleman kind of between us all, kind of would bring us all together and shit.
He's the pivot man in the circle jerk.
Yeah, exactly. He was also the lightning rod for a lot of our insults back in the day, too.
Yeah, I just listened to your most recent episode, and you kept throwing that around.
Yeah. Oh, you heard the clips?
Yeah. I'm like an hour into it. I didn't get to finish it yet.
Yeah, we went on pretty long there. That was, yeah.
That's what she said.
I'd never get that. Or I've gotten too long, but it's like, it's never like a happy thing. It's just like, that took too long. Like, goddamn.
She's like, I was finished a long time ago, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, the nerve of some women to look at a guy and tell them, hurry the fuck up. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword,
all this,
man.
All this fucking, I don't want no Minuteman bullshit. And then as soon as I come in with some fucking stamina and shit, I'm going on a half hour and you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, bitch, get out of here. You don't know shit.
You don't know your body. You don't know what you want. Yeah.
Well, you only come once when you fuck? What the fuck? Shit, all these damn songs and movies and shit. You got all the high expectations, but then when you get into it, all of a sudden you're telling me to hurry up. I just assume, though, I'm ugly as fuck, though, too. I just assume they just want me to hurry up and just get it over with. It's like, come on, just hurry up and get off me. Luckily, I haven't heard that one yet.
Back to the topic. Now, with the whole podcast and everything, I mean, who was really the catalyst of the whole thing? Like, who was like, let's sit down and put this shit together?
Oh, that one, let's see, that would be, I would have to say that was actually Rookie. Yeah, he was the one that, he came to me a couple of times, actually. One time he came up and he mentioned it, like, in conversation, and was just like, yeah, you ever think about doing a podcast? And I'm like, dude, no way. We would never be able to, you know what I mean? Like, come on, there's a lot of work in that. And, like, a month later, I figured he would forget about it. And, like, a month later, he was like, hey, so have you thought about doing the podcast? I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, we still had a Rock Band mic from the video game, and he was like, yeah, you know, I went looking and found Audacity was free. That was the big thing, was we were trying to spend as little as possible, because neither of us fucking got that much to go dumping into it and shit. But went and pulled up Audacity, and it was just like, all right, what are we going to talk about then? And both of us just sat there and heard crickets for a minute, and it kind of happened for like a week of us just sitting there talking about what to record or what we would even talk about. And we tried writing down certain little topics that we would want to bring up. And then finally one day it was just like, we got to hit record and just see what blurts out of us. And suddenly that's where a lot of that randomness comes from and shit too.
Random.
Even when we try it. Yeah. I love that. And actually, you know what? There is a video from long ago on YouTube somewhere. It's damn near impossible to find, but I'll send you the link in like a fucking message or something like that. But
carrier pigeon,
long, long time ago. It's actually, yeah, exactly. what was it? It's actually called Random Ramblings. It was from long, long before we ever talked about doing podcasts and anything like that. It was back when I had gotten a fucking digital camera and was just like, I was just hitting record whenever we, like, me and my buddies would smoke pretty much. And I put it up a long time ago on YouTube. Didn't get hardly no views or nothing like that. Never, you know what I mean? I can't even access the account that I had uploaded it under. But it's still up there somewhere on there. But, yeah, it's damn near impossible to find. But like I said, I'll send you the link. But it's where it was easy. I've always recognized your name and shit just because of that and shit. Like the random ramblings. It's always, it's always been familiar with me and shit ever since we started fucking around on Twitter and shit.
It was meant to be.
Exactly. Hell, just like the rabbit hole thing. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you know, in hindsight, you know, hearing you say that on your most recent episode or whatever, you would think that that song was made for that show.
Yeah, that was one of the things that really tripped us out. Like when he messaged me the song, a link to the song, I listened to the first, hell, you've heard it. I remember seeing you tweeting about downloading and shit. That's the first words of it is "Welcome to the Rabbit Hole." And that I wrote him back right away. You had me at rabbit hole. Like, usually with something like that, I would text the other guys and be like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, hey, you guys, you know, what do you guys think about this? On that one, I heard the first few words, listened to the rest of the song, was like, yeah, you had me at rabbit hole. Yeah, we're definitely down for that. And played the song for the other guys when I got with them later that day, and they both said the same exact damn thing. Yeah, rabbit hole.
Yeah, now, I mean,
and he does great work. He listens a lot.
Yeah, I know. From, because, you know, it's just unfolding to me, because I mean, I came into your show late. I didn't listen from the beginning. I just kind of like dropped in here and there, you know, a couple of episodes or whatever. But I heard the song after I think I listened to maybe one or two episodes. I was like, yeah, man, this shit really goes with the fucking show. And then I think a couple of weeks ago is when he sent a voicemail in talking about how he does the edits and the intros and shit. So I thought that, I was like, goddamn. So did he initially reach out to y'all? And, you know, that's how y'all kind of got together?
He tweeted us about an episode. We were talking about Rook's first trip to a weed shop. And the shop we took him to, they were one of the protocols, like unwritten kind of protocols, is when you bring in a first time patient, like when you recommend somebody, you know, like bring in a reference, they hook you up with a little something free, you know, like a little edible or a little joint or something, you know?
Yeah.
And this place, when we were leaving, I took Rookie there, honestly, just to bring my friend to his first weed shop, just to be part of that experience with him. I wasn't even in it for the free stuff on that one. So we went in, you know, I went and bought something. I was already spending money too, to where I wasn't even in there looking for free shit. And, as we were walking out, the lady's like, oh, if you want free stuff for your references, you got to bring them in on Wednesday. So we walked out like, okay, thank you, you know, but we went on the podcast and talked a little bit of shit. And, he tweeted us saying that we might have been a little bit hard on the girl. And I responded like, oh, you know, we didn't actually say none of that to her. We just, you know, that was us venting kind of afterwards, but we, you know, we're respectful to those motherfuckers, you know. But, yeah, he followed us right after that, and then I followed him back, and he sent that message saying, like, hey, you guys check out this song. I think you guys could, use it for an intro. And hell, he's done a shit ton of them. I got a whole file folder of just intros that he's done, like, week after week, just hearing different stuff that we say and just throwing it in there.
Yeah, it kind of threw me off, cause like I heard it the first time. I mean, cause did he always switch up the audio?
A little bit, yeah, the first couple weeks, like the first one he gave us, he was actually his voiceover, introing us, saying our names, and then a couple clips of us, and then after that, he started getting more clips of us, introing ourselves, and started putting more in there, cause that's also when Redcorn came back, the episode he had heard was just me and Rookie, so he at first was kind of thinking it was just the two of us, and then all of a sudden there was this third guy coming in that it was, you know, and hell, you've heard Redcorn, sometimes he likes to talk low like a little bitch, and I yell at him constantly on it, not even trying to be a dick, but I'm like, hey, come on, man, just pump it up, quit being scared, he's been a part of it for a long enough time,
yeah.
But John Frickin' Smith, you know, he was like, oh, what's the name of your third guy? And started, he's gotten really into it and shit too. And it's kind of nice. Some of the weird things that we've actually forgotten that we even said on there. And then we hear the intro and we're like, oh shit, we actually did say some funny shit there.
God damn, man. I wish I had some fan support like that.
And it caught us off guard. It like humbled us too a little bit too. Like, oh shit. kind of made us somewhat start thinking like, oh shit, people actually are listening. Like now we actually know, it kind of gave us an idea somewhat of, some of the jokes that were actually working, I guess, that we would kind of throw in there and shit. So it was kind of nice. It kind of let us know that some of our randomness wasn't being, it wasn't being completely, you know what I mean? Unappreciated, I guess. If that's a, if that, that sounds a little artsy, but yeah, we're not that damn fancy.
That's freaking cool, man. Cause like, I hear the song, you know, every time I hear the show, and I was just like, oh man, this is fucking cool. And it just one day it just like got on me to be like, he's like, John freaking Smith. So I went on the fucking Instagram. What the fuck? Goddamn iTunes. And I looked it up and I just played the CD from beginning to end. Well, it wasn't even a fucking CD. It was on my phone. CDs don't exist. But so I just let it play while I was riding around in the car. And I was just like, man, I really dig this shit. And I reached out to him and told him it was a good album because it is a fucking good album.
Yeah, what was it? When I'm at work, sometimes I'll cut it on, on Spotify because I got a playlist with just that album on it. So it'll just keep playing those songs in a loop. And yeah, I'm pretty sure I've heard every one of them. I don't remember all of them, but there were some good fucking songs on there and like a lot of different genres going into it. That's what I was really digging about it. And the song that he uses for the intros, it kind of gives us that sitcom feel. I feel like how I grew up in the 90s. I was used to like the, you know, Family Matters style, you know what I mean? You know, the
yeah, house like, type. Welcome to the rabbit hole. Then when you walk out in front of the camera, smile and point and have your name at the bottom.
Exactly. That's exactly like one of us pretending to read a book, but it's upside down or something, you know, or doing like the Kramer style coming through the door and shit. You know, like that's what I picture when I hear that shit is like us doing some stupid ass goofy shit, but it like going with, you know, yeah, like that sick. Yeah, you said it perfect right there too.
And I want to see this. Y'all need to make that happen.
We really do. That would fucking, hey, we got to get a video gag.
Well, shit, reach out and be like, hey, goddammit, we got an audio guy. We need a video guy.
I don't know. If those two guys would stop being such pussies. We're so camera shy, too. Our Instagram, we'd rarely put pictures of us up there because it's hard for anybody for us to pull out a camera and just like, hey, let's get a picture of us together.
Yeah.
It's hard to do it without us looking a little gay, too. I guess I think that's why we just end up having to embrace some kind of gay pose to where it's just like, all right, if we're going to do it, we got to actually at least make it look a little bit fancy, you know?
Yeah.
Commit to it a little bit.
And that was the thing for me too, is like, I would never take pictures of myself. And that was like kind of how the whole Walmart log and my Instagram and everything, how it currently is now came to be. Because like, if you go to the very beginning of my Instagram account, it's always pictures of other people and things. There's never pictures hardly of me or whatever. So whenever I freaking retired and was getting out of the military and I was, you know, starting to crank up this podcast or whatever, I was like, man, if this thing ever becomes something, you know, people are gonna have to know who I am rather than just a voice on a goddamn telephone or a car radio or however, you know, they listen to the shit.
Yep.
So I started using the fucking Instagram. What I first started doing was, I take one picture of myself every day and I'm going to do it all the way up until, you know, one complete year. That's cause, that'll be the exact day that I got out of the military, the day I retired. So ever since the day I retired, I've been taking one picture a day. And like, I think I'm on 333 today. So I'm almost to the end.
Damn. Are the pictures getting happier and happier, or are they getting like bored?
I mean,
well, no, they can't be getting bored. I see you be tearing it up with the podcast and on social media. You be on everything. Shit.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't never commit to like smiling or I just like I hold the camera up and I press the button. Whatever face I make face I make.
That's a good way to go about it too. Just whatever you're feeling in that exact moment.
Yeah. Cause like Instagram is what I really use it on. Cause like, if you go to my Instagram page, you'll see the picture and I have the day, and I have like a caption off to the side or whatever. But if you go to my Facebook account, it's the same picture, but it'll just have the day number. It won't have no captions or nothing. Cause like Facebook, you know what Facebook is. Facebook is where all your family and everybody else is and shit. So I don't hardly post nothing over there on Facebook. But when you go over here on the Instagram is where you see all the Walmart shit. And you go on the Twitter is where you see, you know, me retweeting stuff from Tumblr and all kind of other places and retweeting other podcasts or whatever. Those are the places that I.
When you go live on Twitter too. You are funny as hell when you go live on Twitter too. I've seen that. I remember I saw you saying something about Paula Patton one of our episodes. I think it was last week and shit when shit got a little heated between us.
Yeah, fuck boy, I was hot.
Well, obviously we've been friends for a long time, so they know we all know how to push each other's buttons. And because I was trying to do that whole no curse challenge thing, they knew how to subtly just over time start pushing on the buttons a little bit. That's when it finally just came up. Both y'all can fucking walk home. And they both looked at me too, like, you know, this is a game, right? And I just had to like calm down a little bit.
Can't be talking about Rosario Dawson and Paula Patton like that. What the fuck wrong with y'all?
Yeah. And that I think that's why there's not a battle on the most recent episode. Cause I noticed, whenever there's a challenge, I guess that it just turned into that last one. It just turned into us going against each other, not even having real opinion. It was just us trying to bash each other's votes and shit pretty much. Which, hell, I was talking shit about Paula Patton. I don't even have nothing against Paula Patton.
Yeah.
But because they were both going to Rosario Dawson, and because, damn it, I got love for Rosario Dawson, too. That's one of my fucking up there favorites and shit. Every time I see her in a movie, I'm like, damn, she still got it.
Hell yeah.
To where I was ready to slap both of those motherfuckers.
I can tell you the first time I seen Rosario Dawson, it was in that movie Kids.
Kids.
Oh, you ain't never seen that?
Uh-uh.
Dude! I think that was like her first movie that she ever did.
Oh, shit?
Yeah, you need to look that up. Anyway, I'll give you the rundown. It's about this guy or whatever. They kids. They like teenagers, young teenagers or whatever. They drink and they smoke weed, you know, kind of like teenagers do. And
yeah.
This dude, he had a thing for fucking like younger girls. He already a teenager, but he fucking like younger girls, like preteens and shit like that. So I think that's how the movie started off. He fucking humping away on this little girl on the couch or whatever. I mean, obviously it's a movie, so they ain't really little girls, but so he just humping away and he just going at it with her. And then, you know, later on he get into a monologue talking about how he love virgin pussy and young pussy and all kind of shit like that. He's like, you know, I'm the first they ever had and it's just like the best, blah, blah, blah. But fast forward, they got Rosario Dawson and she has one of her friends. They go into the free clinic or whatever to get checkups and everything. And the nurse asked Rosario Dawson's character, you know, are you sexually active? And she's like, yes. And she's like, how many sexual partners do you think you've had or have? She's like, there was this one guy. And she's just like rattling off all kind of high numbers and shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
And then they go to the other character, the girl that she came with. She's like, how many sexual partners have you had? And she's like, one. And then I don't know if it was in the doctor's office, but it was some point in time to where Rosario Dawson's character was talking about with some other girls. All the sexual exploits. She's like, you know, you ever get some cum in your mouth? It's just like, oh, it's like you can't drink enough water to get the taste out and all kind of shit. I was like, that girl's nasty.
Good God. So, yeah, I'm just looking up the IMDb right now. Holy shit. That's a young cast too on that one. Shit. 95.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that.
So they get their results back from the doctor, and Rosario Dawson's character did all the nasty shit. It's clean. But the other girl that only had sex with one person got the AIDS.
Ooh.
And then come to find out.
So it was sending that message.
Yeah. So come to find out, the old boy that had been jumping on all these little young girls was the one that she had the sex with, and he was the one who had the AIDS. Ooh. So the whole movie, the girl that found out who she got it from, because she was the only one she had sex with, she was trying to find him through the whole movie. And they just kept missing each other. And it kept building to the climax to where he was scoping out somebody else's little sister so he can jump on her too. And it was like, you know, she was just getting closer and closer trying to figure out where he was. And by the time she found him, he done already humped on the girl or whatever, and it was too late. And then she was all crazy and depressed at this party because he found him at a party. She found him at a party, and then one of her homeboys slipped her a Molly or some X or something. And then she passed out on the couch. Then some other boy humped on her while she was passed out. Then he got the AIDS.
Damn.
But there's more to it.
That's a fucked up sounding movie.
Yeah, but it's a great movie, though.
I want to see that.
I hit the Cliff's notes, but I mean, I'm not doing it justice.
Well, no, I was looking at it. It does say it's like a drama.
Now, you was talking about...
shit, I've actually...
Yeah, you was talking about Corn and Rookie and everything or whatever. You know, you've been friends for however long or whatever. Has there ever been a point in y'all relationship to where either y'all can remember, or you specifically, because I'm talking to you, to where y'all just kind of fell out for a brief second, or it got to a point to where y'all wasn't talking and you just kind of like came back and was like, man, my bad, dog.
I think Rookie and Korn, I think back in the day, they might have had like a little bit of a falling out just because Korn, I think, got drunk and was talking some shit or something like that. But
I couldn't imagine
usually,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, you've heard him. He gets drunk. He'll start going on just such a negativity thing. And it's funny sometimes where we just end up being able to feed off of it. But then other times we're just like, Korn, shut the hell up. God. But, what was it? Usually anytime we've had or at least before the podcast, when there'd be like a few weeks or months where we weren't really chilling or talking very much, it's usually like when one of us starts a relationship or something like that, there's like a 2-3 month buffer where it's like, all right, I'm not going to chill. We're not going to chill as much. And then until I know this is serious, and then I'm going to introduce you to the girl and stuff like that.
Oh, and then, that's so sweet.
Yeah. It's weird. We got like a whole process. Apparently Korn is the only one that's different just cause he doesn't actually get relationships really. He just goes out and
he just gets relations.
Yeah. I don't know how that little uncoordinated little motherfucker just goes out and gets it too. It's just, I don't know how he does it. He's got a gift. I got to give him that.
I don't know. He might be slanging some schlong somewhere.
He might be short but tall at the same time, like Kevin Hart said. but yeah, dude. Well, actually, Korn, when he had a little trouble with the law there where we weren't so much not talking to him. It was just kind of, that's part of where that dark period of where it was just me and Rook it was like 17 weeks straight. We didn't have anybody else involved with the podcast. We were kind of shell shocked a little bit. Like, what the hell? We just got cut in half down there. We went from a 4-man thing to just, we had to kind of switch up our whole style to this 2-man conversation of two guys that always agree with each other and don't want to argue. Like I'll admit we had some boring episodes there where we were both just like planning on debating something, and then it was instantly just like, okay, well, you just made a good point. Okay, well, that argument lasted 30 seconds.
So what are we going to do with this other hour?
Yeah, exactly. But that's where a lot of like, that's where we started getting like those random movie, random. That's where we started getting like some of those random, we call them late reviews because it gave us the excuse to any movie that we haven't seen. If we watch it, we can review it or pretend to review it. It's more we just say we liked it or didn't like it pretty much now. But
when did, y'all start introducing or incorporating the voicemails into your show?
That was, I think, just a couple months ago. Actually, you popped that cherry.
You're welcome.
We got, yes. I did. See, I got to make that joke too instantly. We always knew the first one would be black. Yes. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure you hit it that first voicemail you left. I'm pretty sure that was the first week that we had it up. We got the idea from kind of hashtag blackout, and we'd seen how a lot of podcasts have that option there, and we always like having some kind of interaction with people that hear us, you know what I mean? Let us know what you think and all that shit, or hell, like you hit it perfect, like weighing in on the battles and shit, and like hell, dropping some knowledge about Billy Blinks, which I gotta say thank you for that, by the way, because we went YouTubing like a motherfucker, and Billy Blinks is a bad motherfucker. I gotta say that. Like we caught
shut videos. Your mouth. Of him.
Yeah, we caught some videos of him breaking boards and shit, and caught some tournament videos of him like just cracking motherfuckers like taller than him and shit too. That made it at first sight, somebody would easily just be like, oh, Steven Seagal mops the floor with Billy Blanks. But when we went and looked it up, it was like, Billy Blanks, he's got skills. Shit. But, I mean, with respect to Steven Seagal, even though we kind of went in on him because we went down a rabbit hole on YouTube of just people bashing fucking Steven Seagal for some reason. And hell, Billy Blanks hasn't offended anybody that much, I guess, to really go to anybody to have that much hatred for him.
Man, Billy Blanks got people in shape.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't hate nobody for that.
Hell, I can admit I was about 11 years old. My older cousin, he had a fucking Taibo video. I come downstairs, he's sitting there doing the fucking dancing, punching and shit. I went down there, joined in with him and shit.
That's like Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah.
Kick, punch, it's all in the mind.
Yeah, he had the music going and shit, and he gets you to tell you already know you assume you're gonna get in shape just because you're looking at Billy Blanks and he's fucking stacked. You're like, shit. Well, I might look like that if I keep doing this dancing, punching shit.
Shit, Billy Blanks was Zumba before Zumba.
Right? He was what white girls were watching in secret, but they were watching it for two reasons. They were getting in shape, and you know what I mean, taking care of some other business too.
Welcome to the rabbit hole.
Exactly. I picture who was it, Missy Pyle on Soul Plane when she was looking at the magazine and saw that black dude with the underwear commercial and shit, or the underwear ad and shit, and she was just staring at that. I just picture that with a lot of white chicks watching Billy Blanks, and especially like in the late 90s and shit like that.
Now, did you get to find any clips from that movie I told you about, The King of the Kickboxers?
We actually didn't find any clips of that. We saw pictures from, I don't even remember which movie it was from. We saw a picture of him with hair and a gun, and we just lost it. Like, holy shit, I never knew Billy Blanks even rocked any haircut ever.
Yeah.
I thought he just went bald all the time. I still gotta look that up, actually. Find fucking King of the Kickboxer.
I actually own that shit. I own it on DVD. I had to order it special order from this website called I offer. Yes, like I offer you something.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, ioffer.com. You can find just about. I don't know. I haven't been on it in years, but I mean, you can find just about anything you want if you want it in the physical form. I mean, I know you can go torrent some shit or whatever, but like if you want to have a physical copy of something, you can find it on there because they got collectors and all kind of shit. Like if you want even the original old school freaking WWF wrestling tapes with commercials included, they got them shits.
Damn, my dude. Could you find like some old Jerry Springer episodes on there too, I wonder?
I'm pretty sure you could, man.
Shit. Yeah, that was my little sister. I caught her fucking watching, like, trying to watch new episodes of Jerry Springer and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? He's still going. That shit tripped me out. That kind of made me a little bit sad, too. Like, there's still people watching that shit, like,
on Maury.
A regular. Yeah.
Did you ever remember when Maury was a regular talk show? Not what it is now, but when he was just a regular talk show?
When he was doing all the talking and not having all these white trash pretty much on the show.
Ew,
Oh, not the father.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like how many black fathers is he going to try to expose before he dies? Because that seems to be, you know, a interesting weird thing about that. We actually saw one of our neighbors on that show a long time ago. It was kind of funny and shit. Because he was one of those guys. He had a wife and kid and shit already and shit. To where we saw him on Maury Povich with another kid, and he was the father. We were laughing our asses off. We never saw him again after that either.
Well, shit, man. So, a lot of
I always thought I would see my sister's dad on there.
Oh no. Well, a lot of people don't remember it, man. I could just be bullshitting, and you know how you make up memories or whatever. But I think it was Ricky Lake, one of them talk shows. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was the Ricky Lake show or whatever. It was like people revealing their secret crushes to their best friends or some shit like that. And goddamn Mystical was on there. And that's when he had his short little dookie plats or whatever.
Oh, wow.
He even came out rapping. And then the audience was snapping on him. He's like, man, I bet they got some horses out there missing their hair or whatever because of his braids and shit.
Oh, wow.
I'm a YouTube that shit. I know I remember this shit vividly. And I was like, years later, he came out with that CD, Mind the Mystical, and they had that song Beware on it.
Wow. I wish I could see that.
Well, you can't see it by the power of
YouTube. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. I always forget about that shit. I'm like right in that weird like part where I forgot about YouTube having so much availability and shit for random ass videos like that, especially like older shit like that.
Yeah.
Every time I go on YouTube, I end up fucking going down these goddamn like nerdy rabbit holes of fucking Star Wars theories and shit like a dumbass. I wake up fucking 3 hours later. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like, what the hell was I even watching? I came on here to look at a music video real quick and ended up on like 10 things you didn't know about fucking the fucking Batman movie or some stupid shit like that. Shit that I don't need to be fucking looking at. But yeah, that shit is awesome though. You mentioned Ricky Lake. That just kind of, that took me back a little bit. I forget there was a time when Ricky Lake was fine.
Yeah.
Like, well, before she, there was a time when Ricky Lake wasn't chunky. I'd still probably hit that, but there was a time when she was like fucking in shape and shit. What was it? She did a movie with Brendan Fraser, I remember back in the day too. Back in like the 90s and shit. I just don't remember the name of it.
I don't either.
Yeah, it was some cheesy shit about her like adopting a kid or some weird shit like that. I think it was one of them fucking like Lifetime type movies or some shit. One of them straight to TV deals. But yeah, Ricky Blake, that kind of shit was normal to me before Jerry Springer shit took over daytime television. Maury Povich with fucking, yeah, that shit pissed me off. And the lie detectors.
Yeah, you are not
everybody's,
the father.
Everybody's cheating. Yeah.
It's that bullshit. And then I had to explain some of that shit to my kid, man, because I got a 16-year-old or whatever.
Oh.
And I was just like, man, I was like, you got to know that some of that stuff is rigged, right?
Yeah.
Like, so come on. I was like, let's think about this. I said, you got something that you want to tell me. And you mean that, you know, you don't have enough, you know, confidence or, you know, we not that close to where you have to take me from my home to another motherfucking state to be on television to tell me this secret or whatever the fuck is going on. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, also what you don't know is, you know, have you ever watched one of these shows to the very end, like the credits or whatever? And she's like, no. Uh-uh. And she was like, and I was like, well, you know, at the end, they usually ask if you know somebody who's going through this situation or if you yourself is going through the situation, call this number. And the reason you call that number is because they get your info. They fly you all the way out there from where you are for free. They put you in a hotel for free and they give you food and lodging, you know, all this other shit for free. And you get to be on national television. So you mean to tell me there ain't somebody that'll get with somebody and be like, hey man, let's make this shit up real quick so we can go get this free trip and, you know, be on TV. Yep. And all kind of shit like that. So that's what you're telling me right now.
Yeah, we'll go and get in each other's faces, pretend like we're about to fight. Wait till Steve or somebody come over. He got his own show. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But wait till somebody come over and separate us, and you know what I mean? Like, maybe somebody gets slapped once or twice. I'll take a slap for a free trip.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. These motherfuckers, they don't make contact. It's only pushing and shoving. Yeah. And if they get close enough, you know, security.
They go into wrestle mode or something too. That's when they just start grappling or something. They waiting for, like you said, waiting for them to get separated. It's like the schoolyard fighting shit when somebody start hollering, waiting for the yard mark to come, and then they push you right when they know somebody about to come and get between you.
Yeah, I know.
I use that tactic a few times to get out of fight. Shit. Start hollering and hooting and shit. That's when the black half, I guess, would come out of me in a little bit and shit. Man, what the fuck are you getting them up in my face for? The afro would make me feel a little bit taller.
You know what? It was Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones. Oh. That Mystical was on?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right
okay.
now.
Okay. Damn, I haven't heard that name in a long time either. I was like fucking 5 and 6 years old seeing that one on TV. Shit. that name just took me back. That was back when talk shows were a little bit, they seemed a little bit different, I guess. They seemed a little cleaner, I guess. I don't know.
Nope, I'm lying except to you. It wasn't Jenny Jones.
Oh, shit.
God damn it. Fucking YouTube. I'm lying on air.
I was ready to believe that, too, because that fits right in the time zone and shit, too. That was another big name back then.
Because I typed it in and it said, I put Mystical on and it said Jenny Jones. I was like, oh, I clicked on it and it wasn't even him on the video. Sons of bitches. Goddamn YouTube.
I remember seeing a UFC fighter, Tim Sylvia, on an episode of Blind Date. And that shit cracked me up. Yeah, the mohawk and all that shit. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a fighter. Felt a little bad, too, because the end of it and shit, she was like, I'm not calling that dude ever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now.
Other than shit, them dating shows are just made for fucked up shit, too.
For real, for real. Now you being a fellow podcaster, I didn't get to ask Rookie this question because we had the same connectivity issues that me and you was having, but you as a podcaster, what are your likes about doing the show and everything, and what are some of your dislikes, or something that you just can't stand or whatever?
Well, for likes, getting to do stuff like this, honestly, getting to be like on your show and getting to like on social media, getting to interact with people that have listened and people have occasionally like quoted me and shit and or quoted us or something we say, or you know, like the interaction, you know, that that's probably one of the funnest as far as one of the kept going and shit, is knowing that at least, you know, like even if it's only people listening. Well, yeah, for likes, yeah, I'd have to say the interaction and getting like feedback of help. I've gotten messages on Twitter like, hey, you guys, you know, you guys levels are a little bit low. You might want to bump them up so people can actually hear you. And then, but usually they finish that message with like, you funny motherfuckers, to where we're like, okay, we should probably bump up our levels then so people can hear us. I guess they should at least somebody was trying to listen, you know?
Yeah.
So, that definitely has helped us since we've gotten into it, I've tried to be a stickler a little bit about the audio and shit, which is why Korn gets yelled at sometimes about speaking up. But, I guess, like dislikes, I'd have to say sometimes it's, scheduling. Just, I wish we had time. I wish we could just fucking do this shit all day, honestly. It would be shit. We would be having a whole lot of fun with it, but sometimes the scheduling thing, it's more me putting, cause I put on our description, new episode every Tuesday, and I try to stick to that, where sometimes I've had some late nights there where I've fallen asleep fucking mid editing and shit and had to wake up and backtrack to what I was doing.
Been there.
But then, hell, if I upload it and then later that afternoon someone's just like, hey, that was a good one. Then I'm just like, okay, well, at least it was worth it, you know?
Yeah.
To where even the dislikes end up kind of being, hell, the only dislike really is my cheap ass phone. I actually have broken two phones just trying to keep up with social media and shit, going through data and going through space, internal space and shit on my phone. When we recorded with hashtag Blackout for their Podiversary episode /420, we were trying to record our side and shit, and when I tried to upload it to Drive to email it to them, my fucking phone just froze and never woke back up.
Goddamn,
I did the, you know, all the little tricks. Yeah, I did all the little tricks, you know, unplug the battery, take out the battery, plug it back in, and it, yeah, it had nothing. So I actually had to go get a new phone that week.
Yeah, Lee.
But, it's been a fun experience so far, and a lot of, hell, I still got a lot of learning still to do. Cause we're still baby steps into this one and shit. I know that, I know there's podcasters that have gone on for fucking decades and, or at least like a decade and shit, and have had like the same result every, you know what I mean, every year and shit. Yeah. For, you know, like I said, as long as we've, that's why we keep up with podcasts as much as possible too on Twitter and Instagram and shit. We try to have as much fun as possible. It's one of those like shit. If someone follows us on Twitter or something and they don't want to listen to us, at least maybe they'll find a podcast if they scroll down and see something they like, you know?
Yeah.
That's one thing I love too is, one of the big likes actually is the community aspect of podcasting that I've noticed. Like, with things like the Potter and Family, which is, I think, how we ended up coming into contact with you actually.
Yeah.
You know, either that or hell, Instagram. I know there've been times when me and Rook start texting each other just like, hey, follow this guy. Cause he does the Instagram. I just do the Twitter. I jump on Instagram every now and then just to fuck with him. a lot of the podcasters actually, hell, when we weren't really getting anyone else to listen, hell, podcasters were willing to listen and let us know what we were doing wrong and some of the things, you know, like I said, some of the little technical problems we've had and shit, like twice fucking up with you. I gotta make sure I say sorry for that again. Yeah, cause that last time was bad. No, I felt so fucking, I was so pissed off when I went to edit that and was like, wait, why is it silent right now? Who the fuck are we talking to? I was real mad. That's why I'm glad we're on doing it on your show where it's actually being recorded.
Yeah, for the most
part. Fucking hell, Skype has its cutting in and shit anyway.
Yeah.
But that aspect of it, being able to interact with other podcasts and having, you know, being able to, like, hell, when we had our first guest, when we had those, I know it was supposed to be you, again, another apology on that one.
Yeah, man, that's a defucking child, man.
It's all shit. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing this and shit, too. It's all fun and shit, too. But, like, when we had those girls on and shit, I noticed there was a little bit more of a reaction on Twitter than there usually was to some of our episodes where it was like, oh shit, these guys got girls on the show. I don't know what it was, but it kind of opened up the door a little bit too. Cause all of a sudden that's when it was like, all right, we got to start getting on Skype more, I guess, too, and start getting with other podcasts and shit. And that's been the funnest part is being able to share stories and shit like that. That's, yeah, another reason why I was so pissed off. Cause you were dropping knowledge for, that was 2 hours of fucking fun as hell shit. Yeah. Damn it.
I know, man, it's all right. See, and you know, remember what it, so. I think it's my fault though, because this isn't the only time this has happened to me. There was another time, and look, this is how I say it's my fault, because I had this feeling, I had a gut feeling that like maybe I should record my side of the audio, and I was saying that to myself. And then, you know, we just got into the conversation and I just kind of forgot about it and just let it go on about how it go on. But before that happened with me and you, it happened on the show that I co-host on now, the Pipe Bomb with McCool and Company, the wrestling podcast. I think I was on, I think it was my first time on the show or either the second time on the show. It had to be the first time because we kept talking about it after that. The first time I was on their show, I had the same thing. I was like, so how y'all want me to do this? Do you want me to record my side or whatever or blah, 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 blah? And they was like, nah, we got it. And then not so much that they didn't record it, his motherfucking computer died the fuck out. So once he,
oh, shit.
Once he revived his computer, we recorded the episode all over again. That was like an hour and a half worth of content that we had to recreate.
That, yeah, that, actually early on, we had that.
Well, and I hope you enjoy part two of the Just in Time miniseries. As you heard, a lot of weed talk. And I turned that boy on to Billy Blanks. I turned them on to Billy Blanks. Boy, if you don't know about Billy Blanks as a motherfucking action movie star and a martial artist, YouTube this dude. This dude is badass. I seen him for the very first time in a movie called King of the Kickboxers, which was a continuation or a spinoff of the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, No Retreat, No Surrender. I think so, anyway. But, yeah, man, he was a badass in that movie. He was the villain. He had a box with a long ponytail. It was crazy looking. But he had the freaking, the goddamn, he had this finishing move, his sequence of martial arts moves that he would use to finish off his opponent. And one was like, he would jump and like do a, you know how cheerleaders do a toe touch type deal? And he would bring his feet forward and bam, both feet upside your head. And then he would do another kick and then he would finish it off with like a in-air spinning round kick to the chest and it would devastate you. He killed somebody in the beginning of the movie with that three-kick combo and everything. And that was kind of the plot device. It was the main character's brother that he killed and he was training, trying to get revenge and shit. It's a good movie. If you can find it, look that shit up. King of the Kickboxers. And he never seen kids with Rosario Dawson and all that madness that ensues or whatever. Man, if you haven't seen kids, look that movie up too. So I gave you two movie recommendations this week. So now, next week, we're going to round it out with the third member of the group, Korn. And it was an interesting story with him. Found out something that I really didn't know about him. And I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm just going to let you build that anticipation up in your mind about what it could be for next week's episode. In any case, I'd like to thank you for joining me on this journey and this listen. And hope you come back again for the rest of the miniseries and all the podcasts to follow after that. Got some good guests coming up and some exciting things going on with the podcast. So just stay tuned. Today's the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. If you want to hear our predictions, check out the Pipe Bomb with McCool and Company is up right now. And we also had a special guest host, Joe Moffitt from the Joe Moffitt Show. Comedian, down-to-earth dude, funny as the hell. And you can hear that on this edition of the Pipe Bomb with McCool and Company. So go look that up only on the NAI Network, which I'm a co-host, so you want to hear it for me too, right? And that's it, man. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can do that at It's B-Rob. That's ITSBROB. For professional wrestling and other general shenanigans, check that out. Also, I have a website called randomrobcast.com to where you can find my guest lists and musical artists that have been on the show. I got their music posted up there. And you can also find ways to contribute to the show and help it grow and expand and do amazing things. And you can do that by buying merchandise, giving me money straight up. I ain't too proud to beg. And you can become a patron. like Brandon McIntyre and Glenn Abbott, who contribute to the show. They get all kinds of incentives, like free digital downloads. I just sent them some stuff for their birthday within the past 2 months. And they get exclusive content that a lot of you don't get to hear and everything, which I'm reminding myself, I got to upload the test episode that I use. When I first got my mixer and everything, I was trying to be all mainstream and high tech and shit. I did my first call using the mixer, and I recorded some audio with me and my homeboy Chase, who's been on the podcast 2 or 3 times already. And we were just testing everything out, and we just had, you know, general conversation. So I just found this file. I forgot I had it, and that's only for people who contribute, who are patrons through Podbean. So you get stuff like that. And you get a lot of praise and thanks from me. Also, you can find me on Instagram at random ramblings W_Rob, to where I walk around Walmart and get jiggy with it. Nah, 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 nah. And you can use the hashtag Walmart log, L-O-G. And you can find all my stuff that way, too. Also, big milestone, 2 milestones for the Pipe Bomb with McCoolin Company. We reached over 500 followers on Twitter, which is the Pipe Bomb NAI. So give us a follow. Help those numbers grow. And also, thanks to the man, the myth, the legend, L.A. Hoffer, for buying our first shirt. You know, we sold our first piece of merchandise. Thanks to L.A. Hoffer. And you can follow him on Twitter at L.A. State of Mind. And State of Mind 16. So L.A. State of Mind 16. He bought him a blue Pipe Bomb Go the Fuck Home t-shirt. And we are much appreciative of you, brother man. And buy more shirts. I'm also expanding into a new tier into my Patreon account. It's going to be the $10 tier. It goes 1, 3, and 5, and the $10 will include a rotating discount system. So if you sign up, your first piece of merchandise that you buy, because all I really have is t-shirts, will be free. The next time you buy a piece of merchandise, you get a $5 rebate or whatever. And then the third time you buy some items or a piece of merchandise, you get $10 rebate or a $10 Amazon gift card. So yeah, I'm giving to you who give to me and stuff. So look out for that here momentarily. And I think that's it. The Random Realms with Rob podcast is partnered with the Hush Your Face Entertainment Group or network, or however you want to call it. And we're a podcast that band together to self-promote and spread the word of great podcasts. It's 8 of us or 9 of us. I don't know. You think I'm being a part of a network, I'd be more involved with some of the inner workings and everything. But hey, it is what it is. Once again, thank you for listening. And as always, I'll see you next time.
Hush Your Face is coming straight to your ears. A podcast network that's changing gears. Bringing fresh, funky pods with a fresh, funky beat. A family of pods that are bringing the heat. There ain't no stopping us. Keep coming back to us. Sick-ass pods that'll make you hush. www.hushyourface.com.